This is Case Closed, crime stories from the golden age of radio. Welcome back to Case Closed. I've got another 60 minutes of old-time radio crime for you this week, beginning with Night Watch. We'll hear Whiskers and Black Eye, their episode from March 24th, 1955. That's followed up with Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar, and The Sunny Dream Matter, his story from December 1st, 1957.
What you are about to hear is real.
Who's in there? Come on. See you later, Tommy.
This is Don Reed, police recorder. Tonight you're going to ride with Detective Unit 5-6 on the night watch. Driving, Sergeant Ron Perkins. Partner, Detective Jim Ross.
Of 5-6 in service, starting mileage 12,381.
12,381. Control 1 to 5-6, mileage 12,381. Detective Unit 5-6, in service on the night watch.
Control
1 to car 5-4 at 2938 Stephen Way, then 2938 Stephen Way. Woman screaming for help. 5-4, your call, code 2.
This is a black sedan. It's like, oh, 1,000 other cars on the road. No identification as a police car. We're dressed in plain clothes, sport shirts, and overcoats. This is Detective Unit 5-6. And while you're with us tonight, just remember the people you meet are not actors. This is it. This is real. This is Night Watch.
Night Watch, the actual on-the-scene report of your police force in action. There are no actors. There is no script. Every voice, every sound is authentic. The investigations are recorded as they actually occur. Night Watch, presented with the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, W.N. Hildebrand, Chief. And now we switch you to Detective Unit 5-6, on patrol somewhere in the field, and to the official police recorder, Don Reed.
We're answering an unknown trouble call. Our only information is see the man. It could be anything, and it could be nothing. The district car was tied up, and we're rolling on this call in their place.
That's a new housing project out here, and we've had difficulty finding the street, but we're on it right now.
5-3, IS-23035.
Just a matter of seconds, Don. We'll locate the number.
Flashlights along the curbs. It's 26... 22, 18. Here we are.
It's the house on the rear of the lot. Wind blowing across here tonight. The man up the walk. Apparently the one we're supposed to contact.
You the one that called the police?
Yes, the lady in the back has made a call. All I know is that a little girl has been crying and carrying on in there.
Okay, we'll check it out. Thank you.
In the doorway, a lady, a little girl with pigtails hanging on door skirt. Maybe I heard that wrong. Sounded like she said the cat was in the washer. Go to the back porch and see what it's all about.
And I couldn't move the doors down the bottom part. I pulled the hose out, but let me get out of your way.
Okay. How long has he been down there?
2 or 3 hours.
A cat, apparently.
Why?
Stuck maybe up longer? The agitator of an old-fashioned washing machine.
Your shirt's still in there.
Yes.
A little side panel on the side of these washing machines.
Yes, but you see, I couldn't get to it to unscrew it. That was the trouble.
Must be able to get the cat to get in. It's got
to come out the same way.
Why don't you try reasoning
with him, Ron?
The cat?
I
can see where the cat went in. Wait a minute.
Turn around this way. Down on his knees. Creature, where's my flashlight?
It's a kitten. It's clear back to the far end of the...
Just tied up in here?
No.
don't think you didn't turn at all. Now, wait a minute. Let's see. If we can swing this around a little bit more this way.
Turned on?
Don't turn it on. You'll have myth meat or cat meat.
That chrome strip would have to come off the bottom. Or the top.
Mm-hmm. Come out the little hole.
Well, he's in here.
Can't you get out now that you've got the washer pulled out?
Should be able to. How do you go by calling her? What's her name?
Tippy.
Tippy? Tippy, would you mind coming out?
I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll get out and let's...
And you see if you can reason with him.
Come on, Tippy. Kitty. Here we are.
Wait, I know. We'll get something for
it. Ever try to get an olive out of a bottle? Sort of our problem.
Look, everybody's
probably afraid. Well,
it's a good thing you moved it
now
and see how dirty it is under there. Come here, Tippy. Tippy.
Come here. Come on. Little cat.
About 8 months old.
Come on.
She's out.
Is she out?
She's out.
Eureka, we made it.
8 months old.
This is a kitten?
Maybe she wasn't clean back there while it was out.
No, I wouldn't say that.
It does. Let's
mission accomplished. Let's get back to work.
I think that'll do it.
Thank you so very much.
One thing I can suggest is to put a screen over there.
We're going to. Don't worry about that. Was one thing we discussed at the dinner table tonight. We'll get that fixed.
Good night. Good night, now.
Good night.
Thank you very, very much.
You bet.
Did you record all the statements from that victim?
Meow. Meow.
Five, 6-1 on the unknown trouble call. The victim was a pussycat. He's liberated from the washing machine.
Control 1-2, detective unit 5-6. Did you say pussycat?
5-6, Roger. Cat was stuck in the washing machine. We're clear now.
1-5-6-10-4, clear. Evacuation.
Stand by, 5-4. We'll have a detective unit meet you. 5-6, come in.
5-6, go ahead.
5-6, meet car 5-4 at 2938 Stephen Way. They are standing by with an assault victim.
5-6, Roger.
1-5-4, detective unit 5-6 is rolling, and we'll meet you.
You are listening to Night Watch and following the activities of Detective Unit 5-6 on its tour of duty. Remember, the people and sounds you are hearing are real, and the investigations are recorded in the field as they actually occur. We'll bring you the final results of tonight's action at the conclusion of Night Watch. What are your plans for this coming Saturday morning? Working at home, finishing a pair of kitchen curtains, or cleaning out the garage? Will you be taking your family for a drive? No matter where you are, you'll enjoy them when you stay tuned to CBS Radio. Galen Drake is on hand with his friendly chatter and some swell musical talent to aid and abet him. Stuart Foster, Betty Johnson, Three Bows and a Peep, and Bernie Leighton and his orchestra. There's a fast-moving show with Robert Q. Lewis, who has Ray Block and his orchestra, Earl Wrightson, Lois Hunt, J.P. Morgan, and Jan Arden to add to the merriment and music. And for drama, there's romance for touching love stories. City Hospital, with its glimpses into the lives of doctors, nurses, and patients. Gunsmoke for action-packed adventure, Western style. That's just part of the story every Saturday here at the Star's Address. And now we switch you back to Detective Unit 5-6, somewhere in the field, and to the official police recorder, Don Reed.
We've been about 15 minutes rolling out here to the west end of town. I remember hearing a call earlier to this address. I believe it was a woman screaming for help. Uniform cars on the scene and radioed for us to meet them. Apparently, they have some trouble. There's the lights of the car parked directly ahead.
Yeah, we're sliding in behind.
It's a new house. Very modern. Beautifully landscaped. Coming down the steps, the uniformed officer, Al Arnold. Let's see what it's all about.
And her boyfriend, who has served 5 years in Quinton for killing his wife and then attempting to commit suicide, had her out tonight in her car and said he was going back to Quinton, but before he was going to take her with him, and he beat the living out of her. And he lives down here on East. He's down here on East Boulevard now. He's supposed to go home to his sister's there. So I thought he'd better bring you in on it.
Yeah, let's talk. Yeah, she'll tell you everything. She's willing to want to complain getting all out of circulation.
Move into the house. Have a talk with the victim.
Howdy. Can we ask you some questions?
Inside. Panel tile floors. Walls extensively draped. In the drawing room, victim lying on Chesterfield. Bloody handkerchief to her head.
We went out there and had a few drinks and had dinner together. And I don't know what you want to know.
Well, tell me how the fight started. How he.
There was no fight started. He wanted to come over here to my place, and I didn't want him to come over. He's staying over there with his sister-in-law and his brother. So he wanted to come over here, and that's what the argument started, because I didn't want him over here. So he slapped me just along the side of the face.
Where was this now? Where were you when this happened?
In front of his sister-in-law's house.
I see.
He was driving a car, but I wanted him to get off there. Mm-hmm. So he says, I know I'm going to go back to San Quentin. So he says, you're going to send me back there. He went in court and got a divorce. He's only been married 2 months, and he got a divorce because his wife filed a complaint against him and said that she was afraid of him doing her bodily harm. But he's telling me how much he loves me, and he just hauls up and hits the side of my head, and he puts my neck over the back of the car, and I just scream. Wouldn't you if you're going to get your neck broke? He says, I kill one. I says, I can kill another one.
Has he been up?
5 years.
What for?
Killed his wife.
Did he use anything on you besides his fist or hand?
That's all he needs to use. He can see me looking at me.
Take this look of yours. How about your teeth? Is he hurting your teeth anywhere?
Boy, he just hit me in the top of the head. He hit my head over there.
Anyone in the ribs or anything like that?
No. Yeah. No.
How did you get back to your place here?
He drove up here in the back in one of his parking lots. And he said, if you scream, I'll kill you. I ran out in the street, and I noticed the gentleman, I don't know who it was, a man or a lady, drove up out in the car. And I said, please call the police. I said, he's going to kill me. And he threw the keys and he left. He ran.
He didn't take the car, though. He's on foot.
No.
What's he wearing?
He said his sister-in-law. I just called her.
What's he wearing? What's he wearing?
He had a pair of tan trousers, mm-hmm. You know, flax, and a checked coat.
And how old man is he?
He's 57, I think.
57? And how tall is he about?
About 5'10".
5'10". Is he heavy, medium?
No, just medium.
Medium build. Has he ever done this to you before?
Yeah. Times before.
Has he ever beaten you up as badly as this?
No.
Do you want to sign a complaint on him?
Yes. Definitely.
You want to follow through with the arrest and everything like that?
Yes.
Now, you understand, we will assist you in making the arrest. But you will have to make the arrest, and you will have to sign the complaint and appear against him. And we will assist you and give you protection.
Thank you.
Okay? Do you want to go with us so we be sure we have the right man then?
I shall.
Assisting victim to her feet.
It's kind of cold on.
Coat on. Heading now for our detective unit.
You know the house when you see it, don't you, ma'am? All right. You live here all by yourself?
Yes.
Pardon me. Take her down. We'll follow you down. We'll meet you down there. Okay.
A
We have the address of the suspect in this assault. We'll go down and attempt to locate him. Uniformed officer will go along. They'll transport the victim.
Drinking. But some of this unsteadiness is undoubtedly caused by her injury, her black eye, and the cuts and bruises.
5-6 to 1, work here on the home of the victim of this assault. And en route to question the suspect, car 5-4 will assist us.
1-5-6, 10-4, KMA-394.
Now at the suspect's home, the victim will stay in the car. Two uniformed officers to the rear, just in case. Lots of big, tall trees here, the wind blowing through them. We'll go up the front.
Back. Police officers, open up, please.
Can we come in and talk to you, please?
Moving in. Apparently, sister of suspect.
Where is he?
I don't know.
Is he staying here with you?
Yes.
When did you see him last?
About 7:30.
Are you here by yourself?
Mm-hmm.
No one else in the house?
No. My husband hasn't come home even.
Do you have any objection if we look around?
No. What's the matter?
Well, we want to talk to him about a little fight that occurred a little while ago with a friend of his. Has he come back at all since?
Well, yes, he's here. He's not dead.
Let's get him out. We're about to do it.
Woman looking a little sheepish.
You go ahead.
Pointing to the bedroom. Moving into a side room.
Howdy.
Flick on the light. Suspect jumping up in bed, shaking his head. He can't believe his eyes.
What happened down here?
Oh, she just got drunk. That's all.
Did you hit her?
Well, I just slapped her, but she just told me all the doggone names and the guys beating her.
What started it?
Well, she just got drunk on me, that's all.
You been drinking tonight, sir?
Yeah, a little, yeah.
How did she get the black eye and the cuts and bruises on her?
Well, I just slapped her because she just called me more doggone name you can think she could fist at. No, I didn't.
Detective Ross checking, making sure there's no weapons around.
Is this are you related?
That's my sister.
Did you inform her to tell us that she weren't here?
No.
Why did you do that, ma'am?
Oh, just
to protect
your
mind
and
your mind. Well, I'll tell you, how about getting your clothes on with us and go back and find out what it's all about?
Sure, I'll be sick of that.
Backed out of bed. Red flowered pajamas. Slipping his trousers over them.
And she just told me all the doggone names you can stick to take a fist at. She bit me on the finger. That's when I... Sure, I'll be tickled that to go away.
Perkins checking his coat for any possible weapons. Not that we're suspicious. Just don't take chances.
Okay, good enough. Pick up those fingers,
sir. On into the front room. Outside, the wind is blowing in gusts. For a second it's blowing, and the next second it isn't. Now we're guiding the suspect up to our radio car now. Woman victim leaning out the window.
The man that you want placed under arrest.
That's right.
I'll just hold up.
her right into...
Yeah, get a crime report from her at the same time. We'll take him in with us.
We'll take the suspect in our car. Head back to the station.
5-4.
Suspect in the back with Ross.
5-4, repeat.
We'll ride up front.
5-4, coming in with two subjects. One to side door, one to interrogation. Report. 5-4, roger.
That was our other car reporting us clear into the station.
Get that black eye by herself, huh?
No,
this is the Detective Bureau. Into the office. The victim of the assault. Detective Ross. Officer Arnold assisting. Still badly shaken.
We'd like to find out a little information if we can on this situation. You understand the seriousness of this charge that you're facing against him?
Yes, I don't want it to be too severe.
We have no say on the penalty at all. We're arresting officers. We're assisting you in making a citizen's arrest. You are the one that will sign the complaint, and then it goes before a judge, and we have nothing to do with it from then on.
Well, when he choked and slapped me and put my head over the back of the seat tonight, he says, I'm going back to San Quentin, and he says, I don't give a... So all I would ask is for him to just leave me alone.
Do you think that if he's released now that he'll give you more trouble?
I don't think so. Because he's afraid.
Well, we want to talk to him a few minutes and then we'll talk to him.
But I don't think that he should do anything like this to me.
Al, do you want to bring him in here? Would you wait outside then for that for 2 minutes, please?
Yeah.
We ought to get Lang or somebody to get a photograph of her black eye and her cuts and bruises, just in case we have to have it.
Okay, I'll take care
of it. All right.
Now, that black eye is getting worse.
When I first saw it, it was just right in this area. I see now it's spreading down.
It flooded around.
Yeah.
It did.
So it didn't look like a fresh black eye.
You know how he killed his first wife?
Huh? No.
Stuck a gun in her mouth.
Are you kidding?
No, I'm not.
Stuck a gun in her mouth?
Yeah. Now he's trying to kill himself. With a knife in his throat.
Was it a suicide pact, probably, or?
It must have been. That's what that court probably figured, because they didn't want to be hurt.
Come on, sit down over here.
Coming in. A suspect. Short, stocky. Hair streaked with gray. Powerful arms and hands.
How old are you?
57. How many times have you been arrested?
This is my second time.
Second time? What was the first one for?
Second degree murder.
And when was that?
1946.
And how much time have you spent?
5 years and 2 months.
What caused your arrest on it? What were the circumstances?
My wife. Like I say, if I have to go back to this, back to penitentiary, I'll go back.
Well, it's too bad you bring it on yourself, though.
No, I didn't bring it on. She helped bring it on.
Well, what happened tonight? How'd the beef start?
No. That's when
you got back there to your, in front of your place, is where it started, wasn't it?
No, it started at this...
This bar?
Bar. What's the name of that bar?
I don't know, but I don't care the name of the bar.
Well, it started right there. Well, anyway, we took out. Took off, I see. And then we start in front of my sister's place and my brother's place. And she started to cuss me out. So I told her, keep quiet. I says,
Why was she cussing you out?
Because she was drunk. She always does.
Okay.
When she gets drunk, she always cusses me out. She called me a wife killer. And she started calling me all different names. So I said, keep quiet. I says, I'll slap the living out of you. Which I did. I'll agree with you. I did. I slapped her. Like I said, I'll probably go back to the penitentiary and finish.
How many times did you hit her?
That I wouldn't know. I wouldn't say now. I'm not going to commit myself on that.
How come you didn't control yourself?
Well, I just couldn't. I don't know
why. How come you just didn't say good night? I'm going home.
Well, I just couldn't.
You're in love with
I'm sorry, sir. I'm in love with a woman. You can say that again.
You're going to marry her?
Hmm?
You're going to marry her?
I would, yes, if she would.
Well, we'll see what happens. Bob, in the meantime, you want to put him in the detention cage?
Yeah, you want to start with him.
Well, what's the odds, Perk? Do you think she'll sign a complaint? We can't make an arrest without one.
Based on past experience, she probably won't even sign a complaint. We'll have to turn him loose.
Yeah, could be.
What you have just heard is real. The investigations were recorded as they actually occurred. And now back to police headquarters and Chief W.N. Hildebrand.
As you toured the night watch tonight, I think we agree the first case of the cat stuck in the washing machine needs no further explanation. But a little humor in any profession has always proved good for morale. The final case of the woman who was a victim of an assault is a graphic example of a real police problem. A uniformed car and a detective unit were tied up for 3.5 hours during this investigation when sufficient facts were made evident to arrest the suspect. The victim, however, refused to sign a complaint. Since the officers were not present during the assault, they had no authority to make an arrest without the signed complaint of the victim. As you tour the night watch each week in Detective Unit 5-6, it's important to remember that this is just one crew in one car in one city. All over the nation, thousands of cars, thousands of crews are patrolling the streets day and night in sweltering and freezing weather. This is our job. This is your security. To give you a realistic, factual account of how your law enforcement agencies work is the reason for Night Watch.
Thank you, Chief Hildebrand. You have been following the on-the-scene reports of your police force in action. Every voice, every sound has been real. Night Watch, brought to you through the cooperation of the Police Department of Culver City, California, is produced by Sterling Tracy and Jim Hedlock, with technical advice by Sergeant Ron Perkins, and described in the field by the official police recorder, Don Reed.
Johnny Dollar.
Mr. Dollar, the investigator?
That's right, insurance investigator.
Yes, well, my name is Frank Skinner, Mr. Dollar.
Yes?
You see, my wife and I run the Sunny Dream Home up here in Buckland Center. Old folks' home it is.
Oh, I see. Well, now, what can I do for you, Mr. Skinner?
Well, I'm afraid there's something wrong here, Mr. Dollar. You see, we've never had anything like this before.
Like what, sir?
Well, to begin with, all our clients are pretty well insured.
Yes.
All right. We've been having a lot of death here at the home these past months. Too many, Mr. Dollar.
Well, after all, if your clients are all very old people...
Yes, sir, they are. But you see, these have all been accidental deaths.
Yeah, well, don't forget, sir, that older people are very often quite prone to accidents.
Yes, sir, that's true, but... Well, if you want the truth, I don't think they've been accidents.
Oh?
No, sir. And if something isn't done to stop this, well, I think maybe you'd better come up here and see us.
Mr. Skinner, I think you're right.
Of yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
Expense account submitted by Special Investigator Johnny Dollar to the Universal Adjustment Bureau, Hartford, Connecticut. Following is an account of expenses incurred during my investigation of the Sunny Dream matter. Expense account item 110 cents for a phone call to Pat McCracken, my old friend and contact at Universal Adjustment Bureau.
Oh, say, I'm glad you called, Johnny.
Yeah, well, Pat, I just want you to know I won't be available for a couple of days.
Oh, yes, you will.
And it isn't because of any insurance matter.
Yes, it is.
What's happened is that I've just received a phone call that's aroused my curiosity. And, well, at any rate, any assignments you may have for me will have to wait until I get...
That's where you're wrong, Johnny.
I said we'll have to wait until... What?
Just happens you have an assignment right now. As a matter of fact, I was just about to call you.
Well, can I wait a couple of days?
Oh, no, no. Johnny, I want you to run over to Buckland Center.
Huh?
I think you heard me.
The Sunny Dream Home for the Aged?
That's right. How did you know?
Never mind that. What's wrong over there that you know about?
Oh, the number of deaths over there within the past few months have made our actuarial tables look like a big fat mistake. And the companies that have carried the insurance on them are getting a little worried.
All separate companies, huh?
Yeah, but they all cleared their policies through us, fortunately. Otherwise, we'd never have gotten wind of this. Anyway, I promised to send you over there.
Any particular reason for thinking something's wrong, aside from the unusual number of deaths?
Yes.
What?
The beneficiary of the policies that have had to be paid.
Who?
The Sunny Dream Home for the Aged.
I gassed up my jalopy at the sign of the Flying Red Horse, that's item 2425, and drove some 30 miles south and east on Highway 2. I found the Sunny Dream Home just north of Buckland Center. It consisted of a huge old frame house surrounded by trees and well-kept gardens. In comfortable chairs scattered here and there on the wide porch and lawn, nice-looking, well-dressed older folks sat around reading and chatting, playing cards, enjoying the late afternoon sun. The whole place looked clean, quiet, and restful. After parking my car, I walked slowly up the long, flower-bordered walk under the trees toward the entrance. And as I did so, a little wizened old man in a wheelchair detached himself from a group of the old folks and wheeled over to me.
Mr. Dollar?
Yeah, that's right.
I'm Frank Skinner, the one that called you.
Oh, how are you, Mr. Skinner?
Come right along in the office where we can talk.
Yeah, sure. Oh, may I give you a hand with that chair?
Nope, don't need it.
I must say you handle it well.
Should. Haven't been on my feet in over 5 years now. You can help me up this little ramp, though, if you don't mind.
Oh, sure. Here you are.
Well, my stepson built me that ramp.
Good idea.
Yes, sir. It's a big help to a man that can't use his legs. Now, right around the side of the porch here. Oh, evening, Miss Baker.
Good evening, Mr. Skinner.
Here we are. If you just open the door.
Sure.
You just sit down there and I'll get right to the point.
Okay, fine.
Now, you listen to me. I'd appreciate it if you'd let the folks here think that you've just come to look over the place, like maybe you've got some old relative you'd like a nice home for.
In other words, you don't want to alarm your clients.
Guests, Mr. Dollar. They're honored guests, all happy and with no worries.
Uh-huh. Well, I must say that those I saw outside looked perfectly content. But now, about those so-called accidents.
Five of our people have died within the last 6 months, Mr. Dollar. Five of them. Terrible. And like I told you on the telephone, they looked like accidents.
What kind of accidents?
Well, now, the first one. Well, maybe it was. That was old Miss Epp. Lived in the little guest cottage out back.
What happened?
Small fire. Must have started in the wastebasket or something by the time we got to her. Well, she suffocated. And I suppose Mr. Perley might have been accidental, too. Food poisoning it was. At least that's what the doctor called it. But nobody else got sick on them. All those canned peaches, Mr. Dollar.
Who was the doctor?
Old Doc Cherry from town. Of course, Mr. Perley was the only one that had three helpings of them. But my wife never had trouble with her canning before.
Well, go on, Mr. Skinner.
Well, old Miss Sharmley fell down the main stairs to the living room. Look through the door there. You can see the stairs.
Well, that's a long stairway for elderly folks.
Then Miss Lizzie Bell. We called her Miss Lizzie Bell, though her real name was...
What happened to her?
She fell out the window of her bedroom. And Mr. Dollar, she just wasn't strong enough to get her window open that wide. She was 94. Then poor old Miss Betzler, she fell down the stairs, too.
Well, Mr. Skinner, if those people aren't able to negotiate a stairway like that, you're at fault for requiring them to do it.
Well, most of them are. The others had their rooms here on the first floor, like I have, too.
How about Miss Lizzie Bell, who was 94?
Well, she never left her room until she fell, or until she was pushed by somebody younger and stronger than she was.
Well, unless you can prove something like that.
I have to prove that those others were pushed down the stairs.
Right, so. You see, from what you've told me so far, Mr. Skinner, there's no reason to suspect those deaths weren't accidental.
Even so many of them, all within a space of only 6 months.
Unless, as I say, you can come up with some concrete evidence to indicate otherwise.
All right, then. You can tell me this. Why did all those things happen late at night? when those poor old folks wouldn't have any reason to be up and around, when there wasn't anybody around who could help them, until it was too late.
Well, so far as that's concerned...
Why, sure, sure. Folks have got to get up at night sometime, one reason or another. But they all had their own private baths, and if they want anything from downstairs, like something to read or some hot milk, something like that, why, all they have to do is ring the push button in their room, and my wife gets it for them. We do that all the time.
Where is your wife, by the way?
Martha? Why, she's right...
Right here, Frank. Who's this you're blabbing off your mouth to?
Why, Martha, this is Mr. Johnny Dollar, insurance investigator.
Investigator, huh? Well, you can march yourself right out of here.
Oh, now, just a minute, Mrs. Skinner.
Just a minute, nothing. You get out of here and leave us alone.
Mrs. Skinner.
And if you don't, I'll throw you out. If you don't think I'm young and strong enough, then I'll show you.
Strong enough to throw a little old lady out of a window? Or shove a couple of people downstairs?
Get out!
Act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar. And now, act two of yours truly, Johnny Dollar and the Sunny Dream Matter. Martha Skinner, co-owner and the real manager of the Sunny Dream Home for the Aged, was a big woman, tall, muscular, and a lot younger than her husband.
I don't want your kind snooping around, Mr. Dollar, so get out of here and leave us alone.
Your husband seems to think those deaths here in your home for the aged weren't so accidental, Mrs. Skinner.
Oh, he does.
Yes, that's what I told him, dear.
If you'd keep that mouth of yours shut, Frank, we wouldn't have this sort of thing. Why don't you and that wheelchair get out of here?
You sound as though you have something to hide, Mrs. Skinner.
I have nothing to hide. Don't you see what your coming around here will do to our nice place? It'll give us a bad name, that's what it'll do. Folks come here on the recommendation of the folks that live here. And if your sort starts prowling around, it'll make our nice home for them sound like a murder factory, and I won't have it.
Oh, now, just calm down
a
moment.
Those poor old folks, Miss Lizzie Bell and Mr. Pearly and the rest, were accidental, that's all. You got any reason to think they weren't?
Well, I didn't have until a minute ago.
What do you mean by that?
If they weren't accidents, well, it certainly took somebody younger and stronger to push them down those stairs.
You mean me?
Well?
No. No, Mr. Dollar, you're wrong. And if anybody started that talk about not being accidents, I guess I did.
Yes, you did, Martha.
Oh, I was so upset, those fine old people passing away. Why, they were like family to me. I guess I said a lot of things that didn't make sense. Until the doctor and the police came around and told me I was wrong.
The police investigated?
Yes, and they made quite a stir. I guess that's why your being here has upset Martha.
Well, of course, if they found nothing.
Mr. Dollar, do you think that I could do anything like what you're... that I could harm a single hair of any of these nice old people? What possible reason could I have, and what sense would it make? We're being paid for their living here, and if anything happens to them...
Yeah. Yeah, if anything happens to them, you collect a nice, big, fat hunk of insurance money.
You know about that.
Insurance investigator, remember?
No. No, you're wrong. It was their idea to name us in their policies. Now, wasn't it, Frank?
Yes, Martha, it certainly was.
Well, let's not talk about it anymore now. It's getting late, so I think I'll drive back to Buckland Center and have some dinner.
Well, you'll do no such thing. Now, you'll have your supper, your dinner right here. And if you wish to stay overnight...
Oh, no. You mean I'll have another room to fix up?
Well, I'll help you, of course. Walter, this is Mr. Johnny Dollar.
Dollar? The insurance investigator I hear about all the time on the radio?
That's right, son.
What's your business here, Dollar?
Frank, call him, son.
Yes.
About those accidents?
Yeah, that's right. What do you think about them, Walter?
Look, Dollar, Mother's got enough trouble without you coming around.
Walter.
Well, it's true, Ma. You know it. First, it's the police making a big racket.
We've been through all that, Walter. I asked you a question.
Well, why don't you get out of here and leave us alone? I'm sick of all this nonsense. I'm sick of this whole place.
Oh, Walter.
Year after year, working like a dog for a lot of old fogies.
Are there only the three of you to take care of this place?
That's right. Oh, and of course, Frank here is a lot of help tied down to that wheelchair.
But I do all the office work.
Oh, sure. Big deal. Handle all the money, too. What about the talk that as soon as we get enough money, we can sell out and get away from here? Hey, look, Dollar, what difference is it to you who keeps this place up?
Hey, you're a pretty husky fellow, Walter.
Yeah. Would you like a little demonstration on you? What do you mean by that?
Well, maybe I'll tell you after I've had a look around.
Then you will stay.
Oh, yeah, I'll stay until I'm satisfied.
Well, you won't be here for long if I've got anything to do with it. Understand?
Is that a threat, Walter?
Take it any way you like.
I'm sorry, Mr. Dollar. I'm sure he didn't mean that the way it sounded.
Yeah. Well, tell me, do you two have joint ownership of this place, you and Mr. Skinner?
Well, it's really in my name.
And if anything were to happen to you?
It would go to Frank and Walter.
I see. Walter said that you've talked about getting enough money to sell out and leave this place.
He certainly did.
Is that what you plan to do?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm not so sure.
Of course you are.
I've grown to love this place. All the nice people. Mr. Dollar.
Yeah?
Enough money, you said. Like a lot of insurance money from... Oh, no. You can't think that Walter would... Oh, no. He's spoiled and fresh and impetuous and talks a lot, but... Surely you don't think...
Mrs. Skinner, what would you think?
Act three of yours truly, Johnny Dollar, in a moment. At dinner that evening, I made a point of chatting with as many guests at the Sunny Dream Home for the Aged as possible. Sweet old Mrs. Baker, who must have been in her 80s, pretty much summed things up as we talked together on the porch in the cool of the evening.
Oh, really, kind of sorry for Walter, Mr. Dollar. Young man like that doesn't really have a place here among all of us old ones.
Yeah, I wonder why he doesn't go out on his own then, Mrs. Baker.
Because in spite of his brash, noisy way, he loves his mother, Martha. And since she has so much to do taking care of us, why, he just stays and helps her. Isn't she one of the loveliest people you ever met?
Well, she certainly seems devoted to you folks.
And she is. Makes us toe the line. Balls us out sometimes, just like a mother hen. But she's all heart.
And Mr. Skinner?
Very nice. Handles the business affairs of the home real good, too. Isn't generally known, but he's the one who gave us the idea of making out our insurance to the Sunny Dream.
Oh?
Of course, we never told Martha.
Oh, there you are. Evening, Miss Baker.
What a nice young man this is, Mr. Skinner. We've been having a wonderful time talking away about this and that.
That's fine. They make you a comfortable room upstairs, Mr. Dollar?
Yeah. Right at the head of the stairs. Very comfortable.
Good. Well, don't let me interrupt.
I'd like to talk to you a minute if Mrs. Baker will excuse us.
Why, of course.
Thank you.
And we'll talk again tomorrow, won't we?
Sure, of course you will. Good night. Mr. Skinner, when was the last accident when someone fell down those long stairs?
Huh? Why, that was Miss Betzler earlier this month. Why?
Well, at the head of them, as I came out of my room, I found something that... Well, they were marks that looked to me as though they'd been made by some kind of struggle up there.
Oh?
And a tiny piece of cloth from a man's suit caught in a splinter on the new post.
Well, what are you going to do about it?
Oh, just leave it there. Tomorrow I'll get somebody from the police laboratory over here to look at it.
Mm-hmm. Well, whoever suit that was must have a tear.
No, not necessarily. It was really just a few threads that had been pulled out. But they might be the clue to a killer.
I see. Well, good luck, Mr. Dollar.
Yeah. Thanks. In my room, I waited until long after the big home was quiet and wondered. Wondered if my hunch was going to pay off. Hunch? Sitting there on the porch talking with old Mrs. Baker, I'd suddenly remembered something Pat McCracken had told me in the very beginning. He had notified the home I was coming here to investigate. That meant he'd notified Frank Skinner. Could that have been why Skinner phoned me? To allay any suspicion the insurance companies might have? Yeah, I wondered. Finally, about midnight, I heard a noise at the head of the stairway. Quietly, I opened my door. And there at the top of the stairs, armed with a flashlight and standing solidly on his own 2 feet, was the man who said he was confined to a wheelchair.
Where? Mr. Dollar!
You won't find anything there, Mr. Skinner. Because there isn't anything.
You lied to me.
It got you up out of that phony wheelchair, didn't it? To see if you left some trace of your last murder, didn't it?
Now listen, Dollar.
Pretty rotten racket, Skinner. Look at this place. You persuaded the old folks to name you as beneficiary of their insurance policies. Then you proceeded to shove them down those stairs.
Would you like to see how?
Yes, yeah, Skinner.
Then I'll show you.
Oh, no, you don't. Yeah, he'll live to go to trial. And whatever sentence they hand him will be much too short. The Sunny Dream Home, well, I hope it'll be the quiet, peaceful place his wife wants to be. Expense account total, including incidentals, $12 even. Yours truly, Johnny Dollar.
That's it for Case Closed this week. Hope you enjoyed the shows we picked. If not, tune in next week. We'll have two more, or visit relicradio.com for past episodes of this show. You can find more from Night Watch, Johnny Dollar there as well, all the other podcasts in our Shoutcast stream, and you can donate through the website as well if you'd like to help support this and all the shows. Your donations make all of this possible. My thanks, as always, to those who have, and thanks for joining me today. Talk to you again next Wednesday with another episode of Case Closed.